I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Their dreams were dying in Independence, Missouri.
Folks around here are taking the trail to Oregon. I reckon we ought to do the same.
The Oregon Trail?
It'll cure the boredom.
We might learn a thing or two.
You won't learn anything.
They packed up and left the only home they've ever known.
Pa thinks he knows everything. I can't wait to start my new life in Oregon.
What new life? You're going to be a carpenter.
Always choose the banker.
Yep. Always marry the banker. Everybody, welcome back to Play Retro. This is Play Retro for Wednesday, August 16th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway over here, and we're both hosts of this fine show. And, well, I just found out that the beef we ate was from a sick cow, and now the entire group, the entire party, has the Rocky Mountain diarrhea. Real bad case. But we find some shade. We'll let it pass. Oops. Looks like the chicken was bad, too. Don't worry. I can wander off and find some berries and die and never return.
Oh, you are definitely going to have the cholera. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And this Oregon Trail vacation is the worst ever. 0 out of 5, if I could. The only thing worse than riding 2,000 miles across the U.S. with your family via a covered wagon pulled by a team of oxen in the year of our Lord, 1848, is nothing. Nothing is worse. Wait. My tummy is rumbly. Okay, it's worse. It's okay. It's worse. Pull over. Yeah. Get the ox in the river.
Yep.
I'm about to ford this place up.
Yep.
Fjord. Is it fjord?
Fjord. Fjord. You're going to fjord this place up.
Yeah.
Fjord, I think is how you say it.
You've lost all your food, I think is what it would
say. Also, I don't, as far as I know, the Oregon Trail from Independence, Missouri, all the way to Oregon has no fjords that I'm aware of.
Fjords.
Also, too funny that we're doing this game this week, because coincidentally, not even attempting to do this, I finally started watching the show 1883 on Paramount.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched these. Is it as good so far, what you're watching?
It's really good, and highly recommend it to any Western fans out there. But it's basically, and it's
this tied is what to, happens after the Oregon Trail, right? This is when people get there, right? Is that what's going
it's
on?
Then,
right
no, it's the continued, because even, so they're not in the year 1883 yet.
Right.
In the show. So it's still early. It's still a decade or two early, but it is later than the 40s. Than 48 or whatever, but that is the trail they're taking to relocate. And it's rough. And they're basically playing the game in real time in this show.
Right. Yeah.
And it's only a mini series, like 8 episodes or whatever it is. And that's it. Once it's done, it's done. And you got Sam Elliott and Faith Hill and the lady dude she married, I forgot his name, country singer.
Lady dude she married.
Who's the country singer?
I don't even know what all that means.
Faith Hill married. Anyway, he's really good in this, by the way. Both of them are. They're incredible. I don't know what happened to those two. I mean, they're country singers, but geez, they're good actors. They're really good actors.
Yeah, they're really good actors. They found their material, right? They've got 1883. That just seems right. Yeah.
So anyways, why did that come out? That's weird.
What came out? Dysentery?
No, my freaking headphone jack. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. Weird.
It's good now, though. Anyway, okay. So the point is that whole show is basically a really hardcore version of the point of the Oregon Trail. And I didn't even mean to do that. Watch those at the same time. So
that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. So did you learn anything from 1883? So you could kind of time travel back to 1848 and make the right choices.
Yes. No, actually, it's just as bad. Everybody gets sick real easy. bunch of people. There are a bunch of German immigrants that are part of the party. And they drink water out of a lake without boiling
it. Wait, is this about the Donner Party? Is this what 1883 is about?
No, it is not about the Donner Party.
Okay,
it's a fictitious group other than, you know, they exist during a time that was real. But these Germans didn't know how to boil their water, so they were just drinking right out of this lake, and they all got sick.
Yeah, no one knew how to boil. No one knew about pathogens.
No.
No one knew about the darn pathogens. You just drink the water. This doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Why would you do that? Why don't you make your water hotter than it already is to drink it?
That's true. But Sam Elliott knew. He was like, you need to boil your water before you
eat. That's because he's a time traveler.
Yeah, well, that might be true. But he's all pissed because he's in charge of moving this party west.
By the way, yeah. I don't want to get too far away from your excellent Sam Elliott, by the way.
Really, I've been working on it. Hope everyone enjoyed it.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It needs work, but I'll stick with it.
Right. I loved it.
Anyway, so that's what we're going to talk about today. Not that show, but that game, the original. Not that many of its spinoffs. There's not a ton of these. Oh my.
Yeah, no spinoffs. There's just so many freaking revisions and it's been in so many people's hands. I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was playing this past week, you know, people were like, oh, this isn't like the one I played. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's only like one. There's an Apple II. Everybody played that one. Wrong. Wrong.
No, they did not. They played, in my case, I think the first one I played was the Mac version.
The Mac version?
Okay. Yeah, which is the thing you showed off earlier, which we'll get back to. We'll show that some more.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk about it in a second. Before we do, though, and I didn't bring it down. Damn it. All right, I'm going to show you a link to this. I forgot to bring it down here. So I bought something.
With your hard-earned cash?
Well, here's the weird thing. I don't usually get swayed by something that pops up on TikTok, or Instagram or any of that crap. I'm usually like, I know what I want and when I want it, and you don't need to tell me that I want it, right?
I want it at the general store, and I want two wagon wheels, yes.
Exactly. But this ad comes up for something called the AirZopa Portable Monitor, 15.6 1080p FHD.
Okay.
Basically a USB-C-based display that's super thin, that is really bright, and you know, high quality and stuff, but is used like as a second screen to a notebook or a laptop or whatever. Well, normally I'm like, whatever, I don't care about this, but it was on some insane sale, and so with a coupon I already have plus the 50% markdown, I got it for $95 minus another 50, so I paid under what? 50 for this thing. Your mileage may vary. You may, if you don't have the coupon going on your Amazon account.
I have a $20 one, it looks like.
Yeah,
that makes it 75. That's not bad.
That's what I had is a 20, I think, on there. Maybe it was a little more. I don't know where it came from. It just was there. But anyway, I also read on this thing, because it's USB-C and Thunderbolt, it's very, very simple to plug it into all sorts of stuff. And it can work with your phone. It can work with your Xbox or your PS5 or your Switch or your whatever.
Worse than my Switch? Now you got me. Now you got me interested.
Yeah. So, and it does. It works with my Steam Deck as well. So I tried plugging in a bunch of stuff into it. I grabbed it because the price was just too good.
Yeah.
And usually these things are a bit of a lark for me. It's like, am I really going to use this? Maybe, but it's mostly because the price is so cheap. But I thought, hey, how's my AmberNet going to work? I thought I'd try that.
Right.
No issues. No problem. You just go micro HDMI to Thunderbolt, which is a cable I already had, a little dongle I already had.
I got a little dongle.
And it worked. I got full screen GBA. It was awesome. I can't say enough about it. This thing was rad. If you can get it around that price, I would recommend this thing very highly. And I do plan on to take it. I do plan on to take it.
I'm going to put it in the wagon, and it's going to go against our $900.
That's right.
But I'm taking this thing.
Next time I go to like a trip or something, I think I'm going to pack an Xbox or PlayStation.
If I'm having the dysentery dumps, I need something to read.
That's right. I need to take that there thing with me. The only difference between, there's another one they make too, which does HDR, same size, but that one's $160.
Right.
Which is still pretty good.
No coupon. No coupon.
But the only difference is that is UHD.
I think it's 17 inch too, by the way. I think it's a 17 inch.
Oh, is that a 17?
Versus a Yeah. But still, they're both full HD, right? And one's, okay, yeah, you still, that's not bad. It's not bad.
1080p in both cases, I think.
I'm seeing a really good use case for this already, just alone. Like, if I'm like, sometimes, you know, if the internet craps out and the laptop's giving me trouble, and I don't know if like hooking up the hotspot or something like that, I could see me like running my TV stuff on my little phone, like plug it in there.
Yeah,
my little,
it's really cool for that. I've been super impressed with it, and for the price, it was just like dumb not to get it. But mainly, I wanted to, you know, I wanted to see what would this do? How would this look scaling up my stuff off, right off the AmberNick, and it's great, sharp.
Does it have speakers on it?
It does, and they're not great.
Oh well, that's fine. I mean, I didn't expect them to be.
It's got headphone jacks, so you can definitely avoid that if you want. But they're okay. Like,
shoot, looks like I just purchased it.
Ah, damn it. What happened? Oh,
I
well.
Said, I think I said add to cart, and it looks like I said buy now instead. So there you go. It's on its way to Beer Friday. Sweet. All right.
Nice. Put that in a place you're going to probably never use it again. Just kidding. Maybe you
right.
Will.
That's right. I'll put it right next to the keyboard. So, and I'll put a note on it that says, don't listen to Scott ever again.
I think exactly. And you could have, I could probably, you know, if I needed an extra little utility style screen in here, although I really don't.
Right.
But if I did, I could just mount that thing up if I wanted. Comes in that nice little travel case, by the way, that has the stand on it that comes with it.
Right. This is my theory, Scott. You want to hear my theory?
Go. Give me your theory. Go.
You want to hear my bullshit theory?
Can't wait.
At some point, TV screens are going to be cheaper
than walls. Shit.
Yeah.
Are you saying you could build a house out of television screens? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying we're not very far off. We're building an entire wall somewhere. Full of, you know, like drywall or something. I don't think it'd be that bad of an idea to go ahead and make it a TV.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know what? I don't.
Then you wouldn't have to have windows or nothing. Imagine building a wall, no windows.
Yeah.
Windows are expensive.
I don't agree. I don't agree. I don't disagree with this at all. This is a good hot take you got there going.
Right. I think it's a good hot take.
Brian, what'd you do this week with your retro life? Do you do anything cool?
Oh, so I did. I didn't put it in the notes, but I did see it when I came in the room. Like, I never get to talk about my last week. We talked about our light guns.
Your blaster thing. What's it called?
This is the Zapper. This is the Nintendo Zapper. Last week, I showed off my not working Sega Genesis light gun. But this week, I did get this in like the day after we did the show. This is the Nintendo Zapper. I got the full orange one. It's in pretty good shape. Got it from off the eBay. Plugs right in there to your NES system. Yep. And I have Duck Hunt, and I look forward to testing it out. I was hoping I could get it tested out and showed on the Patreon feed, but I didn't get to it just yet. Hopefully maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe you'll get that. You got like enough CRTs to test this too, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which ones are hooked up? Which one's your NES hooked up to now? That one right back to
either one. Yeah, the one right now, this is my Nintendo line here. So this is, I switch between right now is running the Wii, which is actually emulating the GameCube. I have a GameCube up here and NES, but that's usually a little switch box, and I switch between that. And so that's like where we'll be showing that off.
I like it. You're turning me on with all that.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Oh yeah. Oh, ooh, but also as well, I picked up more relevant to what we're doing today. I picked this up off Amazon. It's the Oregon Trail card game. And, you have died of dysentery. It says graphics look very much like, you would expect. Yeah. It is open up. I'm taking this with me next week. We're going, going to go meet up with Brian Ibbett, and we're going to try to give this thing a spin, but this is the Oregon Trail card game. So it's got a little place where you can write your party names on, right? Like with a little greaser marky there, a little greasy marker.
Greasy marker.
No, it's a greasy marker.
My best friend in high school, his name was Greasy Marky. We called him
Greasy.
Yeah, he was gross.
Poor Greasy Marky.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I got some tombstones in the back, which you can write your own little epitaph and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not too happy about this. I got to put my own stickers on my dice. I don't know why I got to do that. Come on, people.
Yeah, don't why, be that, don't why be is that, that not a... That should just be on the dice.
It shouldn't be on the dice, but I got a stack of trail cards. So you're looks like you're Owen. Does it say your oxen drink bad water. Flush away bad water with one clean water card. So you got to collect some clean water. But then you got the calamity cards. That's not going to be good. I don't even want to look at these.
No, don't look at those. Calamity cards are rough.
Yeah. But I'm pretty excited about that. A little card game.
Yeah, you have to report back on that. I keep forgetting you're doing that next weekend.
Next weekend, yeah. But I'll be here for the Play Retro show because we'll do that Wednesday. It will not affect the Play Retro show at all.
Yeah, don't worry, everyone. We'll be here to talk about our cool topic we have planned for next week, which I think is actually
cool. Which we got a lot of feedback to start this one up.
Yeah, we did. And I'm a giant fan of this whole genre. So
genre that we're going to talk about next week, but not yet.
Yeah, but not yet. Today we talk about the Oregon Trail, and it begins now.
Shall we play a game?
Sure enough, let's talk about the Oregon Trail. You're a player of a game there. You lead a party of five from Missouri to Oregon. We mentioned that. You manage supplies.
Try not to name your family Donner.
Exactly. Right? Don't name them Donner, whatever you do. Mm-mm. Manage supplies, Mm-mm. hunt for food, cross rivers, face illness, make decisions. You got to figure out which path you're going to take. You know what? Some of you modern gamers, you played FTL. I'm not sure FTL exists without... this game without the Oregon Trail.
Faster than light, right?
Faster than light is the game, and it's a game that's been out for a bit now, but it's amazing. It's really good. But what I think people didn't notice while they were playing it is they were playing basically a spaced up, skinned up version of what is essentially the Oregon Trail.
Right.
I think it owes credit to this game.
I think yes, many games. Now we're talking about the Oregon Trail this week, which is an edutainment game that we mostly all of us have probably played at one point in time in the U.S.
I hate that term edutainment, though. I hate it. Hate it.
I can't decide. We won't call it that anymore because it gives Scott the heebie-jeebie. So we'll call it educational gaming software. It started in 71 on a mainframe.
Yeah.
And so it's come a long way. This will be the first week that we've talked about retro video games that I will actually not be the old man. Because typically I'm the old man and I'm like, I remember when it first started. This time they talked about things that I watched and read about the Oregon Trail and I wasn't even alive yet.
Yeah, you weren't even around, man.
Yeah. So I got to relay some of the information I learned, and I'm going to get it wrong because I didn't exist at the time. And people are going to be like, no, Brian, that's not how that works at all.
I mean, you exist now.
I exist now. Okay. So like the first one we're talking about it was called Oregon, started in 1971.
Yeah. Not even Oregon Trail, just straight up. Oregon.
No.
Yeah.
We didn't even have the trail part yet. Dan Rowich, Bill Heineman, and Paul Dillenberger. This is your trifecta. This is the three guys who made this. Don Rowich, which was he was a history teacher. He had the idea to make a board game, Oregon Trail. And while he was in school, 21, and he was teaching eighth graders, student teacher.
Yeah.
And then his roommates, Bill Heineman and Paul Dillenberger, they were math teachers. They were trying to be math teachers, and they were all roommates together. And they got together and did the impossible, which was make a game for the teletype. No graphics. If you're not familiar with the teletype, I know what it is. I've never actually touched one. I've watched video. This is my best description of it. It's like an electric typewriter with a telephone line hooked up into it, and you're typing. Does anybody know what that typewriter is?
Typewriter, sure.
Yeah. You know what a typewriter is?
I'm pretty sure that's still universal. Right. Yeah.
I think so, too. But now I'm like questioning. I'm like, oh. Everybody knows what a typewriter is, right? I don't even know if that's even the truth anymore. But yeah, it's just that there's no screen. So imagine a computer that's in another room that's about the size of a room, and you talk to it through a telephone line and a typewriter. And the only thing you see is what you're typing and then what the computer types back on the same typewriter.
Right.
That's on yellow sheets of rolling paper.
Yeah, it's coming back to you. It was kind of magic for them, right? Like
it's magic to me. It's
magical.
That actually sounds more sci-fi to me. That sounds more futuristic than me seeing a computer screen.
Yeah.
To imagine me typing on a device and then manually, physically putting pressure on keys to make it type, and then the computer pressing those same keys in that same machine talking back to me.
Yeah.
That feels weird.
What's crazy to me is this this issue of Creative Computing, Volume 4 from 1978, has actual code in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Of how this thing was managed to maintain, and they've interspersed it with some like good old-fashioned country art, but really it's about this code. And it tells you, I mean, it essentially gives you the underpinnings of how this damn thing worked.
Yeah, I went through that entire code. So that was the one printed, I believe, in, what was that, the 78, something like a 77, 78. It's a computer magazine. Yeah. Used to get magazines. This is actually, I know this part. Used to get computer magazines, and you could take those, and usually you would have basic programming, sometimes assembly, but not typically. But you would have basic programming, and you could type those codes in, and you could play a game. And that's exactly what they did in that.
Yeah, you could retype. You essentially retyped the whole. This is long before OCR or any other way to capture that right. text. So you would manually. I remember as a kid on an Apple II, I would open. I don't remember what they were. I'd open a magazine. Mm-hmm. Lay it out there, and all that basic was there, and I would literally just be like typing it in. Go to line, ba ba, do this with the dare, but dare. I used to be pretty good at this.
Right. And, I used to be really good.
Yeah, long time ago.
And you, yeah. Now, were you doing that mostly like on your Apple?
Yeah,
I mean, all these were.
There's an Apple II. Like, my dad's Apple IIe, I believe, is what I was doing that on.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I made my own game once. It was a text adventure with a little bit of graphics. It had it's basically a set in a science fiction thing. And it was like, will you take your ship? This is so dumb because there is no north, south, east, or west in space. But I would be like, do you want, like Zork, I'd be like, do you want to take your spaceship to the north? It's like, the north of what? What is space? Space doesn't have a north. It's the stupidest
but
thing I ever heard.
That's fine because you know what? This was what gaming was during that time frame. It's like what you said is interspersed graphics, usually still graphics, sometimes with limited animation. With text inputs, and that's the adventures you would take on. It was partially, you know, supporting your imagination, and it was just so much fun trying to just learning the language alone, of how to communicate with the machine was half the fun.
It was great though, because I'd sit my parents down, and say, all right, just do it based on the prompts, and so it'd be go north in space, and then. I programmed my own based on something I read somewhere, like one of these things, made my own Starfield simulation. So every time the ship would go, you'd get like, like stars would go past you. And then it would say, there's an alien to the left, to the left,
to the left. It's in space, you big dummy. Coordinates this, that, and the other. So that magazine, Creative Computing, the one you're talking about from May, June 1978, it also covered stuff like computer graphics. And I was actually looking through some of those too, because this is a time when you would be mapping, you know, you would literally write the code of where you want, you know, a color sprite or, you know, a color dot to show up on the screen. You'd have to define it mathematically, essentially, like, or grids. You'd put it in grids, man. You wouldn't draw on nothing with no freaking software. It's crazy times.
No, right? You wouldn't do that. I'm surprised
we didn't die of dysentery.
No, it's a little shocking. But anyway, it was a text-based thing, and it was cool. Great proof of concept. But the year 1985 rolled around, and they went, you know what we could do?
Yeah.
We could make one of the most impactful things ever, and we'll call it educational simulation, but really it'll be a really good roguelike
video
game.
They would call it edutainment, Scott.
It's one of the great roll the dice roguelikes ever made, but no one ever thinks of it that way because they think of it as this education tool. And I was also told it was that when I was growing up, but I'm telling you right now, that is not what this effing thing is. This thing is a legitimate, cool video game that a lot of modern games full on ape the systems from.
Oh yeah.
Gleefully, not a problem, because they're that good. They're fundamental and they're good and they make for great games. And I'm telling you, the next time you play FTL, remind yourself, you are playing Faster Than Light, but you are playing it on top of Oregon Trail. That's what you're doing.
You really are, because that's one of the debates I've heard this week while researching the Oregon Trail, that some people are like, "Hey, the game lied to you. It wasn't really about learning history." And I'm like, "Well, I don't think it ever said so," especially the first one, like the first couple of iterations, like it's 71, you know, that was written just specifically for a teletype machine. So they could teach their kids, and they actually even deleted it off the machine at the end of that year. Dan Rowich deleted it, and he would not revive it again until like 75, when he went to work for MECC, which is Minnesota's educational, what's the exact term? I don't know. It's their little educational consortium
educational
of sorts.
I forget. It means something.
But anyway, there was an initiative to bring educational, you know, software to all the schools. Mm-hmm. And so he was actually, I found this really interesting too. I didn't know this, but Don Rowich.
Rickles.
Rickle. He was actually trying to, and I'm not calling, this is not a bad thing, especially not in our day and age. He was basically trying to dodge the draft in the proper way.
Fun.
In the proper way.
Fun.
So, you know, and there are several ways to get around the draft during that time, like around 73, 75, something like that. Once again, I was only like three at this point, so I don't have a lot of firsthand experience with history in that form.
Sure.
But yeah, so he got his draft notice, and his options were, I guess he didn't say this, but I know what the options were. Basically, run to Canada. You know, that's bad. That's not what you wanted to do. Or find a way to legally, you know, get out of it, which is by making yourself for whatever reason, you have a value to society. So he ended up working at MECC to bring education software, because he had experience in it.
Right.
So that he would be a valuable member of the society, right? So
right. That's
how he was getting out of it.
Which is such a lovely thought that we're only right. sending people we don't deem valuable over there to die. Fantastic.
Right.
Here's what it stood for, by the way. I found it. It's Minnesota Educational Computing Consortium.
I've heard it so many times this week. I don't know how I didn't write it in the notes so that I could remember it, because I've said it like I've heard it like 6 million times. Super important. Super important story in the history of software in general, not just educational and software in general.
Yeah.
Just
for the record, SoftKey bought them out in 95 and then shut it down in 99. So they no longer exist.
Yeah, they kind of did. That's actually, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah,
so
sure.
That's a really interesting story. So yeah, it started off as a state funded organization. It started having huge success in large part to the Oregon Trail. Ended up kind of going somewhat independent, so they didn't have to answer to everything state-sponsored. So, and then eventually they sold the company for about $5
million. Yeah, $5.25.
And so some of that money went back, you know, some of that money went back to the state and so on and so forth. The original creators got nothing, by the way. They don't get any money from any of their hard work other than Don worked there at MECC and he collected a paycheck. So anyway, so that happened. And then the learning company acquired it. So then SoftKey purchased the learning company.
Yeah.
We had a huge update, by the way, when the learning company came along. They did a whole bunch of stuff. Anyway, SoftKey, you may know the guy who was running that thing is the O'Leary guy. You know, the O'Leary guy from the what's that stuff called? You come out of the Shark Tank, right? That's those guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the,
so anyway,
he's a familiar name there.
Yeah. Kevin O'Leary.
Yeah. Not so, Dennis O'Leary. Or not Dennis Leary is what I meant to say.
No.
Dennis.
So,
oh, look, it's Dennis O'Leary, famed comedian and actor Dennis O'Leary.
Right. Anyway, so he picked it up, I think, for like $60 million or something. Anyway, he turns around after he strips this stuff, starts putting the software in Walmarts and that kind of stuff, totally kind of goes against the grain of what was going on with the educational aspect of it, to slant. So Mattel comes along. We're talking about Mattel so much lately. We talked about him last week. We're talking about this again this week. And once again, Mattel paying too much. $3.5 billion to buy the learning company.
Damn.
Immediately lost their butts. Ended up having to sell it for $27 million. Had a lawsuit with their investors, the Mattel investors, had to pay out huge amounts of money to the investors for making bad decisions.
That's a horrible call.
It was terrible. And that's how your Oregon Trail stopped there.
That's
it
the
died
dysentery, yeah.
Of the worst kind of dysentery you can imagine.
Financial dysentery.
Financial dysentery.
It says here that even though, okay, so after all that, you're right about everything you said. But it's interesting because the Oregon Trail part of things, ended up being part of SoftKey until SoftKey shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
They acquired it in 95. We've talked about all that. $370 million in stock was the trade.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. They were making about $30 million a year publicly traded at that point, because they did an IPO after that, or right before that, rather. And that was annual revenue. Pretty good. And a third of that was Oregon Trail related products. Yeah. So it was a huge thing. Even after that acquisition, they started making other stuff, including the very successful Oregon Trail 2, which we'll get to here in a minute, 95. But its offices in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota closed in 99. They are done now. They're gone. The rights, however, carried on. And I'll have to see who owns the rights, but Gameloft did the recent game. And it's very good. Yeah. It's very, very good.
Gameloft did a bunch of stuff for a while. And then I think Crave Entertainment did a few things. But most of the stuff we've seen from the Oregon Trail since the late 2000s forward has been Gameloft.
Yeah, and Gameloft's a whole other story. But
yeah.
There's no audio to play for this first game. That's one big problem.
The teletype one, the one before 85, there's really no sense.
There's nothing there. But I will say this, as I'm about to play Oregon Trail, the OG 85 one that we all remember the most, I think, or at least a lot of us were first introduced to.
That was the one that had the most innovations. Mm-hmm. That's the one that I think most people remember.
Yeah.
And it really took it from just a very simple game to some more, a lot more complex systems that would that really cemented
definitely
the Oregon Trail.
And it sounded like this, which is horrible. It's very patriotic. Everybody get up and get excited here. That just goes on forever. That's basically all they really had in this game. They had
let
music.
Me tell you something. In 1843, that was a slapper. That thing was rocking, baby.
Yeah, I guess you would have seemed like aliens to the people traveling
across
the plane.
If you brought your Apple II back to 1843 and you plopped that thing down the covered wagon and you crunk this up playing through the Apple II computer speaker, mind's blown.
Yeah, they wouldn't even know what to make of it.
No.
It would just sound like a monster was coming or something.
Yeah. Kill it.
I'm not even sure that song, that was even a song
kill it,
written
Jebediah.
By
them.
Like in the year 1840, what's this song again?
So
tied around his neck and called it macaroni. Like, was that even a song then? I don't even know.
I don't know. It's a good question. But I'll tell you this. They went from the very first version of Oregon, which was just basically what they kind of just knew collectively as content creators about the Oregon Trail, including things like, old Westerns. That's all they knew. It's like, Indians, Native Americans, were bad in the very first version. By the time we get to this, they've learned enough about history and injected enough history that this can finally really be called a historically somewhat simulation of true events. Right?
Yeah, they needed to, because the guys before that, as brilliant as they were, they weren't historians. They didn't know. They just went off kind of some of that surface shit they grew up with. Like, they grew up in the 50s, and it was all pew, get the Indians. And they were basing everything on kind of that.
Right.
And this newer iteration, this 1985 thing, the Oregon Trail was like, hey, how about real history? How'd that be?
Right. By the time 75 came around, I think Don Rawich was starting to inject real history into it, and he was reading real journals and things. So everywhere from about 78 on, you're getting a much more accurate representation of what the Oregon Trail was actually like.
Yeah, and so this thing got real deep on the systems. Things like, certain choices influenced the party's health, their morale, their resources.
Right.
If you want to win, you got to do things like start early in the year so you're avoiding winter. Buy lots and lots of supplies. Make sure you got spare food and parts for your broken down wagon. Got
to have your medicine. Wagon wheels.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about it. That's the gameplay of Oregon Trail. Is you've got to somehow survive on that trail from point A, which is Independence, Missouri, and get all the way to Oregon, the promised land for a lot of these people. Right. And to do that, you had to invest wisely, but you also weren't loaded. You couldn't just have everything. You also couldn't just have too big a party or too small a party. Like, you had to really be smart about these choices. And then during the travel, this is where things get hairy. This is the FTL part.
Right.
During travel, shit happens you have no control over. It's like, you're like, oh, we're going along fine. Everybody's doing great. It's spring. We're just across a prairie. There aren't any wolves around. We haven't seen Indians for days. Bam, I broke our wagon wheel. Shit, we hit a rock. Okay, well, what do we got to do? We didn't get parts when we stopped in that other town. What do we do? Well, I don't know. Yeah. I guess we're going to be screwed. And then one of your guys says, don't worry about it. I've fixed a million wagon wheels in my time. And he'll get down there and start working on it. Bam, breaks a leg. Uh-oh. Barnacle Bill broke a leg. What do we do now? Well, he's going to die because his leg got infected. Now he's, and are we either going to cut
but
it
not
off?
If we're having to pay the doctor half our miscellaneous fund.
Right.
Jerk.
Right. All those things add up and they all contribute to your survival or lack thereof. And it's a brilliant bunch of, it made it feel like this thing was alive and making,
yes,
making, not making decisions, but the world was working with or without your input. And that was
right.
Really cool.
I think so too. It was, you know? it was our first, a lot of our first with computer role playing, right? It's like, oh, I can role play. And one thing that role play does, especially when you're talking about historically, yeah, it can create empathy and understanding of what these people were doing. So why they made the decisions they did. And I think that's the most historical, I think that's the biggest value historically. When you look at this game, where's the value at? Understanding, you know, how life was in being empathetic. Because a lot of times we do it even today. A lot of times we look at our ancestors. I don't know if we do it everywhere, but in this country here, the United States, we look at our ancestors as rubes typically. Now, we may have huge respect for, you know, like our founders and stuff, but typically we all think of a lot of people as like rubes. It's like, yeah, they know how to survive in the land, but, you know, it wouldn't take much to fool these people. You know, you could bring out, you know, some ointment and you could easily sucker them.
Oh yeah. But, snake oil, yeah, everywhere. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But here you got to go, oh, okay. So these were the things at my disposal. I made some calculated decisions and they were all wrong. I started out with $900 and a couple of oxen and I had to buy, you know, I had to figure out how much food I needed, how much ammunition I needed, you know, and clothing. Because once you get about halfway through, it starts getting really cold.
Yep. And you gotta go. You gotta go hunting. I'm looking at screen, yeah, right now where dude, you literally get a little dude out there and you have him shoot these deer, and then you get some more meat, and it can also meat. Convert the coat or the skin for coats and stuff for the winter.
You can't.
Like, yeah.
You can't carry as much meat back either.
No,
I found that out.
Can't take it all.
I was like, I'll just shoot everything. I'll just go out here and kill all the buffalo. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you can only do so much, right? So you
only carry back, I forget exact weights, but yeah, you can only carry so much stuff back. But the hunting was like one of my favorite parts.
Hunting was fun, except I got eaten by a bear once. That was bad.
Oh, did you? I never got eaten by a bear. Yeah. I did curse at a bunch of rabbits who were jumping around too fast, but...
The problem is I don't remember if it was... Because I have the modern game. There's a brand new game out now.
Yeah.
It's been out for a couple of years on Apple Arcade and then recently on Steam. It's brand new, I think, this year. It's very good, but they take this stuff to the next level. It's like, well, if you're hunting bear, so I think I may have experienced it there and not in the other game. Anyway, we'll talk about that thing later because I think that deserves people's attention.
Yeah. Now, when you were playing this 1985, yeah, Apple II version, you might have played on the DOS, Mac, Windows.
This may have been
made it to all those places.
This might be a Commodore 64 video, but yeah, it was kind of everywhere.
Right.
So
it was everywhere. But okay, so you had with this one, you had the option to click your pick your occupation. So you had like I think what was in the commercial said you'll be a carpenter or something. That was a fool's errand. You didn't want to be a farmer or a carpenter. You definitely wanted to be the banker because he started out with more money.
Oh, yeah.
And that always made it easier. But you also got to name your party, including you got to name yourself. Did you ever do that? Did you ever name your
party? Oh, yeah. I named the Beatles. So it was
okay,
John,
so you gave
Paul,
them Beatle
Ringo.
Names. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Because there were exactly enough slots for every.
You didn't name any of them fart or penis or anything like that?
No, back then I wasn't as cool with my naming. If I do it now, I would do it now and call him like, here, this guy's name is Chode.
Chode has died from dysentery.
Yeah, yeah. Chode died from dysentery. Taint right. died from gun.
Taint blood, died blood from, loss. From the bandits.
Yeah, man. Like I get real goofy with it, but it does. It did have this like crazy level of a customization that, again, unheard of back then. Like yeah, this isn't what video games were at the time. And so even though they tried to drape this cloak of this is educational simulation over it and try to convince a generation of kids that this wasn't a video game somehow.
Right.
That was just so weird to me because when you would play it, you knew what you were playing was more than just,
we were learning more about the value of computers than anything, but we were still eking out small bits of historical data. So, I mean, I don't totally discount this as, you know, like pointless for historical reasons. Now, it got a lot better. The further they went along, the more they concentrated on it. The later versions really had like where you could stop and you could look at landmarks and, you know, read about landmarks. Almost reminded me of what we eventually got with, what was that? What was the Microsoft's Encyclopedia Britannica? What did they have?
No, that was
like Encarta.
Encarta.
Yeah. So it kind of reminded me of that.
Encarta,
you remember Encarta? We need to do a whole episode on Encarta. We could pull that thing up.
I mean, Encarta was for its time. I think Microsoft really thought they knew what the future was going to be. They were wrong, but yeah. Wikipedia would just destroy Encarta. But Encarta still. I think you can still go there. Hold on.
Oh, I don't know if you can still go there or not. But, you know, as a disc, you could get the, because this was, you know, this is when it was expensive to get on, you know, stay online for a really long time. So if you were doing your homework, you know, you weren't going to be able to log in for long for your mom would pick up the phone and go, get off the phone.
Oh, here it is. So their last version available, and because eventually it went to a software solution. Like it wasn't a CD stuff anymore. But 2009. August 2008, roughly in that zone, 08 through early 09.
I'm surprised it was that late.
Final release, that was it.
I am shocked that it was that late.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
That's crazy.
It used to be encarta.msn.com. Remember when they're putting MSN?
I never
used
the website very much. I was just all about sticking that CD in my new CD-ROM drive because it was brand new. Getting a CD-ROM drive. What?
Hell yeah,
dude. In your PC?
Yep. Your single-speed CD-ROM, just inching along, baby, trying to teach you about history. It was great.
And then you get like a postage-sized video clip of you know, some video or something. Mm-hmm. Are you doing your homework? Yes, I am. I'm doing some major homework in here.
Absolutely.
It's always been like that.
The last version was on Vista, so enjoy that. That's how old Vista is. Jeez.
Yeah.
Vista feels like 4 minutes ago to me. That's really? Felt like 15 years ago. Jeez.
Interesting. Yeah, Vista. I can see that.
Windows Vista? How is that old? Wow.
Yeah, that's like, let's see, we're on 11 now. 10.
Yeah, before that, though, remember we had names there for a minute. We never had 9, because 9 got skipped.
Right, we had 8. So, yeah, I guess it was, what, 4 iterations ago? So
you had Vista, then you had 7. 7 was
7, you're right.
7 was considered the best. People loved 7.
Yeah, 7 stayed forever.
Yeah, 8 came around, no one liked it. They tried to get all weird with it, and then 9 got skipped altogether. Same with Apple, did the same thing.
Well, they skipped 9. Windows said they did it. They were finally honest about it for the most part. It's because it was just the naming was going to cause too much trouble because they had Windows 98 and everything else. And it was
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a big pain in the ass.
That makes sense. But yeah, they, you know, now we're stuck with, and 10 was good. 10 was solid. 11's got there finally, but 11 had a rough launch.
Yeah.
Windows. What are you going to do?
I'm good. I'm good with 11 now. I'm 11 everywhere.
Would you like to hear?
And Windows 98 SC. That's the only thing I'm wearing. Those two things.
Would you like to hear what they were doing in 1992? Speaking of like,
Well, it would have to be better than that computer speaker thing, right? I mean, because that was a rough ride.
Yeah, no, it was.
By the way, did you write anything on your epitaph before you move on?
No, like, I'm sure I did when I was younger, but I never did. I these days I don't bother with it because it's just like a lot of. But that's why I don't know. What
because
I wrote.
It's not. It's only funny when you were able to save it, because then the next person journeying through would come across your gravestone where you died. So that'd be the only value in that.
Here lies Bill and Aaliyah. Their problem was constant diarrhea, and then you just then you leave.
And then you would run off.
Yeah, you'd run off and you'd be done. You'd move off on to the next place. It's kind of how
and
it
the
works.
Teachers would be like, "Oh, Jesus. Jesus."
All right, let's move up to this game. The Oregon Trail Deluxe. This is a weird one.
Right.
In my opinion, 1992. This was on DOS. I think other places though, too, right?
So what happened is Oregon Trail Deluxe is actually just an updated version of the Oregon Trail from 85, but they added a few things. And so Mac actually had gotten a mouse version. They got most of these features, but DOS wanted to stand out, so they called theirs the Oregon Trail Deluxe.
Yeah,
but really it's just an updated version.
Yeah, and their version is like, you know, full color and, you know, More graphical and everything on the DOS version, but you're right.
Finally, some real music for sound cards and stuff. Get your Sound Blaster
check this
16 out.
Listen to this right here. That's your logo. That's such a jolly, happy time.
Oh my God. Did I just land on somebody's webpage and they're playing some MIDI in the background? Good Lord.
Yeah, that's MIDI as hell, isn't it? Oh my gosh. The only good MIDI is Doom MIDI, but the rest of it's fine.
That's pretty good too. Yeah.
Yeah, this was a.
I don't know. You say that, but there is something in me. There's something in me that every year around Christmas time, MIDI Christmas music.
You like it? You like MIDI Christmas music? Really?
I like MIDI Christmas music. I will admit, I will turn it on.
That's a weird thing. That's a weird thing, man.
It's not weird.
It's a little weird.
MIDI Christmas music. You're into it. Let me know.
Doom MIDI music. Let's just hear what, so you guys know what we're talking about and don't think we're crazy. I'm gonna pull this up and play a little bit of it. MIDI.
Be careful, you might get a copyright strike.
Let's see. I hope not.
Has anybody got a copyright strike on MIDI music ever, I wonder?
I doubt it. Hold on. No. No, this isn't it. I'm looking for Doom. Here we go. MIDI soundtrack. Oh, this isn't it either, though. Is it?
That's pretty hot. I like that.
I feel like this is enhanced.
Man, I'm telling you.
That's enhanced something.
Fire up me some old Christmas MIDI music on my, you know, in my Winamp.
Yeah.
And telling you, man, bring up some animated Christmas GIFs and some flashing, blinking screens.
Oh, have I told you one of the benefits of Play Retro, people? I don't know if I've done this. Brian says GIFs. I say GIFs.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. It's a GIF. It's a GIF for you.
It's a GIF that just keeps on GIFing. Yeah, we both say it different. That way we give each side a little personal touch.
Yeah, each side. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's we're all about all sides here. Anyway, this was a little bit less. The one thing I didn't like about this version of the game is all of the graphical stuff was told in this little postage stamp up top.
And yeah, it had a lot more emotion, but it was just too small, right? That was just what it was.
It's fine for what it was. At the time, I remember being blown away by it. And it's funny, this DOS version has the Mac system font all through it. So they obviously didn't change whatever that meant. I don't know how they embedded fonts.
The year before would have been the Mac version. And so that's probably exactly what they did. Probably just ported it over to DOS.
Yeah. And earlier, if you were here in the chat, you saw Brian pull up his system 7.55, I guess. Or 7.5.
That looks like this. I was just naming my characters, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, look at that.
This one.
This is what I remember the most. This is what I would have probably been first exposed to, was this version.
Yeah, Brad Double D. I'm going to be a banker. What do you think?
I like it.
I'll see a little help.
He's got all that cash.
So, yeah. Here's our benefits. Bankers get 1,600, but no special advantages. So you don't get no final bonus. So your score is not as high. You're much better. Look, the teachers get no starting cash, but get 3.5. Oh, come on, teachers.
They're giving the teachers extra juice over there. Yeah.
Right. Love it.
Look at this, though. This, like, graphically, this is so familiar to me. Oh, man. Just that black and white. There was something about the way
Mac stuff.
Those old Mac games looked. It's hard to explain, but they had a look to them. They were just so
cool. I can't wait for us to do Carmen Sandiego. That's also one of my favorites. Also from the, ended up getting bundled in with all the Trail stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah. Trail. That's another one people think of as purely an educational title. And I think it's a little misplaced. You know, I know there was an effort to do that. They wanted to, I don't know, make this legitimized digital entertainment / educational tool, as Brian would call edutainment. And I would almost kill him for it because I hate it so much.
Look at this spreadsheet I'm working on right now.
I know. Look at this. It's like you're playing, you're playing Eve online right now. This is great.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Always use the banker.
Chat room. So this is where EverQuest got its original UI. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, really, this is I think, the ultimate version of this game, in my personal opinion. This is the most, I take that back, because I actually think the modern one's maybe my favorite, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, mouse support really went a long way, because if you ever tried to shoot in the 85 version with the keys and stuff, and then trying to navigate, it was a nightmare.
No, it was a total nightmare. Hey, you know what other genre benefited directly, a very popular genre today worth millions, maybe billions, is the survival genre. Games like What's the one with Valheim and the one where everyone's dead? I can't remember the name of that one. Children of the Forest or whatever. These really popular survival games. Blizzard's making one. Everybody's making one. They have a lot of their DNA here.
Yeah.
You know, the concepts of you're running out of food. You're sick. You got to do shit about that. You got to have.
You better get on that. That's going to be bad if you don't.
You got to build shelter. You got to do that quick because the weather, you know, in the nighttime and this and that. There's a lot of those concepts at play here. And I feel like Play Retro is the only place that understands this. I feel like everybody else doesn't quite get this.
You're totally missing out on it, dude.
Yeah.
Your teachers only get $400 to start.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't know why, but that's just the way it is. Anyway, so there's that. That's
look,
a very
he's killing
cool
all
game.
These. But this guy is just, he's like he's totally not going to be able to carry any of this. Back.
No, he's stupid. He's going to kill. Yeah, he's doing what the Old West actually did: was the overkill, overfarm, and then only could carry so much.
You don't even care. Like the Indians are out there. You know, the Native Americans are just out there, quite upset at you for killing everything.
Yeah, it's you've like, killed really, their dude? Whole herd of buffalo and only taken like 2 buffalo worth of meat.
Yes, but you see, he just clicked on the screen. It said how much he had killed, which was thousands of pounds, and he only could carry back 200 pounds, and then he just like glossed over it and kept on moving. I'm like, you chaos, you agent of chaos, get your ass off the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, you dirty bastard.
I was thinking about this though. If I had have lived during this time, the Oregon Trail era.
Yeah. The 1800s.
I was right, the 1850s. So I think what I would have done would have been a ferryman. I think I would have got over a couple of rivers over and decided this is too hard. I'm not going the rest of the way.
It's going to park.
I'm going to build a ferry and I'm going to ferry wagons across because that was the safest way to go. Get $5 a pop. You're thinking $5. That's nothing. But 1840 something money.
No, 1840 money. $5 to buy a damn horse.
Right. Yeah. That's what I would do. I'd be the ferryman. I want to make that game. That's
so
game
today, Brian would be. You would be a coyote, the people they call coyotes who get people over the border in Mexico. That's who you would be.
Pretty much.
You'd be smuggling people in trucks and then, okay, I'll get you over this river, but you got to do it at 2 a.m. and it's $1,000 a pop. And
that's right.
Yep.
It looks like you lost your wagon wheel.
Yeah. You know. What'd you do there, boy?
I wouldn't even I'd talk like that around everybody else. That's how I have to.
That's
talk.
The rule. You have to.
That's how they would trust me.
Yeah. Then came a thing that I think is effing weird. And it's a game called Oregon Trail 2 from 1995. You might say, oh, it's a proper sequel. That sounds interesting. Listen to this. It's fine so far.
So I decided to come back east, round out some of my relatives, and take them all back to Oregon with me. Find yourself a good wagon train. That's the prime thing. Keep moving and don't take no cutoffs. Stick to the main trail and you'll be okay.
The merchants here in town offer basic packages of supplies.
Send what mail you can to your family as you travel. Forts are a good place for it. Ain't much else we can do except keep asking if someone's seen our people along the way.
All right, so I don't know who they hired for this shit, but they are bad. They're all bad.
Right. Now, if I understood it correctly, before Softkey purchased this, the learning company was established by academics, if I understood it correctly. Now you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, and I think they were the ones who did this Oregon Trail too, and I think this was the most ambitious of all of them, really bringing that Encarta type style of full motion video, you know, audio, really bringing the multimedia CD type of
for sure the voices and all
Wayne
that stuff
Stutter.
Yeah, there was very design. Little we wrote MFV or MFV full motion video or
FMV
good lord. They didn't really do much of that. It's mostly VO
right.
And this guy's VO. Little animated face talk, and you can see it here, this dude with this dumb hat on.
But this is kind of one I think you probably end up finding in Walmart, right?
Oh, yeah.
More
hell
so
yeah.
Than being distributed to schools. This is more like something.
Yeah,
home.
This is definitely, and this would have been a time where I would have gone, oh, that's for kids. I'm not playing. Or that's for students. It's not a.
That's stupid. I already know about Oregon Trail.
If you go,
I already know about dysentery.
I mean, even just looking at this launch thing, look at that Photoshop 1.2 ass looking logo with the freaking. The bezels on everything and the horrible shiny. I mean, this is just so that era, dude. You cannot get away from it.
No. Steeped in it is what they say. They is steeped in it.
Yeah. Oh, there's some
just
FMV.
Just like my cholera.
So they do have a little tiny postage stampy sized FMV of like historical stuff. So it's like, oh, right. Here, the buffalo or this and this and this. And if you hover over it, you get a little teeny buffalo video.
Look at your little buddy.
Around.
He's a buffalo.
Hi.
Look how sad he looks. You sure you want to go shoot him?
I'm from the buffalo. Anyway, and look at this texture back here. This makes you want to die, kind of, honestly. Some of this stuff. Just so bad. It's such a different time. But whatever. That's why we're here celebrating it. But yeah, you choose your occupation. You got your funds and your skills and your age and your health and your personal traits, modifiable stuff. All that stuff's here again. And
Yeah, we're getting deeper and deeper into stats, right? Into systems and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just they every time they do it, I'll admit they refined every time an Oregon Trail came out, they seem to, you know, kind of push it a little bit.
A little bit. I would say this way a little bit much. We're looking at the screen now where he's buying food. It's a little too granular.
At this point, I'm gonna have to say that this no longer has a specific value other than game systems. At this point, it's just so deep, and I just don't know. I don't know.
It's too much. If you're choosing between, I think I'll get a thing of ham and some crackers and a hatchet.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're getting really specific instead of just food.
Right.
Instead, you're saying how many crackers or how many pounds of flour do you want to take?
Right.
Like, it's too much.
Is all of that historically accurate?
Maybe, but it's still too much. It's not gamey enough for me, you know?
Right. Now, the other stuff was easier to think. Well, I don't know. I guess it could be easily historically accurate as well. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I know this. I know everybody plays video games differently because I know that some video games, I don't listen to the story or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just there for the game mechanics.
You're just skipping around while playing.
I'm just skipping.
You're playing.
While other people come at me and go, oh, yeah, you got to talk to NPC so-and-so because he'll give you great advice. And I'm like, I'm not reading that.
Yeah.
I just picked two wagon wheels and kept on going.
Yeah.
That's why I'm dead.
That's why I don't live. That's why I no longer live. I no longer draw breath for this reason.
For this very reason, I'm stubborn, just like everybody else in 1840-something.
They also had I do remember seeing this, a big old thick book, game guide book thing that was way more like, hey, this monument was a real place, and this is where Teddy Roosevelt took a dump once and stuff like that. I guess not the dump part. They didn't.
Well, we'll see. That. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe they will. I hope they do,
Brian.
I mean,
he could. I'm sure he did. So, I mean.
Look, everybody poops. That's what I learned when I was a kid.
That was the best edutainment book ever.
Yeah.
I was both educated and entertained.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Now, before we get off this pedestal of what's great about Oregon Trail, I'm here to tell you that I think the best version of the game might be the one that you can go buy today. And this is the one we mentioned. Now, Gameloft is we have a mixed history with these people. They're known for a lot of mobile stuff. Even the, in fact, I think the version I'm looking at here, the video anyway, is not the PC version. This is still mobile, but I'm not sure where they get this cursor. They're probably doing this on Windows with Android or something. I don't know. Or maybe it is. Maybe they have big fat buttons and stuff in this version. But anyway, Apple Arcade debuted the thing, and it was still one of the best games on that service. It's very, very good. Some of it is like green pixels, like old school, and then some of it's newish looking. It has lighting that you couldn't do back in the 80s, clearly.
Right.
It even has like a FTL style overworld map. So you choose which thing you want to go on and what your risks are, and you have to kind of, you know, decide what that is. And then as you go, your problems happen. Oh, you broke a thing. The cow got sick. Mom gave birth. Whatever.
I'm annoyed that they're all walking along with the wagon. Is that what you would do? I mean, you could make it like 10 to 20 miles, right, each day?
Yeah.
Not going to make it like that. Not the way they're marching.
Yeah, not that. Well, and later when they get sick or have problems.
Where did that guy come from?
Here's just a dead guy laying out there. Later on, they get if they're mumpy or they're frumpy, they're feeling low. their stats are down or whatever, they get all hunched over and kind of drag themselves. And, you know, they're slower. They don't make as much ground up. Anyway, it is an extremely good coming together of all the concepts that always that made this fun in the day.
Right.
And it really focuses on the game. This isn't like there's historical stuff here, but it's not the focus at all. The focus is survive and do it in this motif. And the music's really cool and sweeping. Check it out. I'll play some of that. If I can turn it up here. So it's like a lot of, you know, sun's going down, a little bit of country guitar. There's a lot of foreground graphics here. Like, it's very nice. A lot of
parallaxing going
parallaxing,
on.
Parallaxing, yeah. But look, they're pixely people, though, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, here you are, a fish team in the water nearby, prime location. With a little time, you can get some fish. Oh, so they're going to go fishing. You make your decisions. You do your stuff. Decide to leave. Keep moving. We got Betty Lawrence.
You got to make bait or cut fish, right?
Yeah, you got to make bait and cut fish. it's really good. It's actually on sale right now, so it's a good week to ask about this.
Yeah.
You can get it on Steam. Normally $24.99 or $29, I forget. This is, I think, $19 right now.
Hmm.
So somewhat steeply discounted on Steam. The reviews are very good on there. And like I say, when it was on phones, it was just like, whoa, this is really good. And the cool thing about the Apple Arcade game, and this version, doesn't either version, there's no microtransactions. There's no bullshit in it. It's just a game.
There's no bullshit. That was no microtransactions in my original either. So, you know.
That's true. It's more true to the original, I guess. But coming from Gameloft, it's just surprising. But they've had a couple of really big hits lately. They have had this, and they've got that Disney Kingdom. Oh, crap. It's like Stardew Valley, but for Disney.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
whatever that's called. That's a Gameloft joint as well.
The Disney butthole.
The Disney butthole. Yep.
Yeah.
I knew you'd remember if I brought it up.
Yeah. Always, right there. I got it right there in the brain right there.
Yeah.
That and my Independence, Missouri. I'm going to
rest. Look at you. You're going to rest there? Rest. Do some resting.
Rest, trade. Maybe I'll talk a little bit with this guy.
Don't pace. Pace is the worst.
I got to set my pace. If you do a steady pace, you're going to be much better off. If you do a strenuous pace, and the ox are going to pop a vein.
Right, but if you're in the winter, you're in the snow, you might have to do a grueling pace.
You want to try to.
Because you got to get out of there, man. You got to get
going. That's the reason why I'm leaving early in March.
Yeah.
Got to get out there before it changes. I'd rather be cold here than cold later when I get to the pass.
I'm legit going to play this on my Steam Deck tonight, like all night. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I need a break.
By the way, I played this on my Mr. FPGA using the Mac emulation. It is pretty freaking
sweet. It's pretty awesome. Hit quit it's on that. Neat. Let's see your desktop.
Let's take a look at my desktop here. Yeah. I got a screensaver too. Should I turn that on? You want to save this game? Nah.
Let's see. Does that flash
it back?
Do you have flying toasters or anything?
I think I do. Let's see if it's
holy shit, dude. Here. I haven't seen this in 100 years. After dark. This is it. Yeah,
there we go.
Is it going? Oh, there's your settings.
About to start it up.
Hit demo.
I'll do my demo. There we go.
This is Star. Oh wait, you want the toasters? Hit stop.
Yeah, let's get back to the toasters.
You gotta have.
That'll be in the T's, right?
Yeah. It'd be flying.
Flying toasters. Okay, I got warp. Oh, there they are. There's flying toasters. There they are. All right.
Hit demo.
Yeah, there we go. Let's demo this bad boy.
Oh my god.
There is the flying toasters.
Oh my gosh, I am having nostalgia farts right now.
Right.
That's so cool. People listening on the podcast version, it is what you think it is. It's amazing.
A toast and literally flying toasters.
Yeah.
Toasters with wings.
If you were at all at school or otherwise had anything to do with Macs back in the day.
Yeah, that was the way to go.
There they are. It's incredible. All right. You've killed me with that. That's amazing.
You killed me.
That's it for our Oregon Trail discussion. And, it's a worthy pursuit to go play one of these, whether they're the old or the new. I think they're really fun. And there's a lot of meat under these games, more meat that they can carry on their trip.
Right. More than 200 pounds of meat.
Yeah. There's just a lot of stuff that you'll play it and you'll go, oh man, I did something in Baldur's Gate 3 yesterday. That is a lot like that system. Like,
yeah.
There's more there than we've ever. I don't think they've just gotten the credit they deserve. They deserve more credit.
Yeah, they definitely didn't get the money.
Hell no.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He made the mistake. And I watched some great interviews on YouTube. I'll have to post the links to them, because there's one interview with the three guys, Don Rawich, Bill Heineman, and Paul Dillenberger. They did eventually get their recognition by, you know, the gaming fans. However, they never did get any money. So they did all of this, you know, this founder's work.
It was a time where nobody got money for this stuff. It was just like,
It wasn't even on the radar to do that kind of stuff. And so they never got any type of deals or anything. She just didn't think about it. And so, yeah, but they're also not only people who put work into this thing. I mean, this the one that we got to had so many hands, so many young programmers coming in and taking a crack at all of this stuff. A lot of people involved with it. But it's just a shame that those originators that came up with this idea didn't have a chance to reap a little benefit financially. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Yep. I'm with you. Well, there you have it. Let's get to a little fun thing we do on the show.
Destroy it.
It's called Guess My Game. We take an old game, we play some audio, and we try to convince the other person that they are smart enough to figure it out. All right.
Brian, I don't know. I'm pretty stupid.
You are pretty dumb, but that's okay. I'm going to give you a bunch of chances here. You're going to get three major questions. I'm going to give you a little hint at the top that I don't normally give because it may or may not help you. But here's my stuff. Commodore 64. All right. So we're staying with computers here for a minute. Commodore 64, 1985.
Oh, okay.
So same year as the main game that we're always talking about.
And
developed by, this is the part I don't usually give you, this was developed by LucasArts. It's a very early, very early LucasArts thing.
Early LucasArts thing, okay.
I'll play the sound. Here you go. Kind of slaps. I like it.
Yeah, it's very slapping.
Yep. Here's some actual gameplay.
Like you're doing some Spoon Man.
It does sound like Spoon Man. Spoon Man, save me. All right. Any ideas forming? Any questions forming?
Commodore 64, early LucasArts game.
Yep.
It sounds like we're shooting some stuff. So is this a is this an arcade type game? I know it's on the Commodore, but it's an arcade-ish kind of action type shoot 'em.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no shooting. Well, is there shooting? It's not really shooting.
Not really shooting.
But I will say, yes, it is an action arcade action style game.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And I will say this to add to it as a little help, because we said LucasArts. Usually we think LucasArts, we think point and click adventure, right?
Right. That's the reason why I was asking, because it did not sound like a point and click adventure.
Yeah, so that is not, nothing like a point and click adventure, if that helps at all. Okay. Which is a little weird for them, because they would go on to do mostly that, but that's the deal. Any other questions?
Yes. Is there any, let's see, sounds really familiar, though.
I know, that part really, that's what got me to use this one.
Yeah.
The rest of it's.
Let's see. It's 85.
I will also say it was on the Atari 5200.
Okay.
And it was on.
Is this the only one of this series that ever came out? Was there?
No sequels.
Okay.
Well, that was your question, I guess. So you have one left.
Yeah, it's two. That was two. Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you this: Apple II, ZX Spectrum, Amstrad, CPC,
so everything, every
Commodore 64, MCX, Atari 5200, and 7800.
This is a basic program or something? Jeez.
Oh, there was even a Famicom version in Japan, but not here.
Okay.
Just a little bit weird.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So definitely, but directly in the 8-bit era. So I'm going to go with, let's see. Does it involve any digging?
No digging involved. Zero digging. Okay, all so above ground.
So there's no verticality to the digging. Okay.
No, but I will. So again, this is why this is fun when you ask these questions. There's no verticality to the game, but there is a pseudo perspective.
Okay.
3D perspective. It's not real, but they fake it.
Okay.
If that helps you.
Okay, so action, kind of fakery. Feels like is Lucas's famous three-quarter top-down isometric golf game.
Someone in the chat who got it. That person's going to get a game code today.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm so impressed they got it. This is really hard.
We call it chin ball is what he calls the golf game he has there. It's called chin ball.
It's old chin ball.
Little chin ball. Lucas Arts chin ball.
Yep. Let's see. I think that's right, but let's find out if that's for sure correct. Is it Lucas Arts chin ball? No, it's not. Oh, sorry. I meant to play this thing. That's for us. Incorrect. But you had a word in there. You used the word ball.
Chin. Oh, ball. I'm going to say chin. It was something called chin. That's crazy. Okay, so it's ball.
It is. Blazers. Ball? And the person who ball got it was Blazers. The Wraith 86, okay. Who beat Graham Ellis just barely with him figuring it out. In fact, at first he called it Trailblazers, but it is Ball Blazers.
Does it involve golf?
It is not. It doesn't involve golf at all.
Darn it. Man, that would have been some wild, crazy stuff. Then that would have been some wild guesses.
The way I would describe it.
You've been playing so many golf games. It's one of the reasons.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Because I do like a good video game, but golf game. But Ball Blazers, basically, here's how it's described in the gameplay. It's a simple one-on-one sports-style game. It has similarities to basketball and soccer. Each side is represented by a craft called the rotofoil, so it's like a futuristic sport thing, which can be controlled either by a human player or a controlled droid, basically AI.
Droid.
And 10 levels of difficulty you can do for human, but you had to have enough sticks for it. The basic objective of the game is to score points by either firing or carrying a floating ball to the opponent's goal. That's basically, and the world looked like a big, you know, they would fake 3D with like a checkerboard floor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would scroll, and that's how it looked.
Okay.
And LucasArts, of all people, made that game.
That's weird. I don't recognize this at all. I just looked it up and I don't recognize this at all.
It was published here by Epix first, then Activision, then Atari Corporation.
I love when I see the Epix logo. That was always
fun. Yeah. EPYX. And then for the Famicom, a company called Pony Canyon.
Pony Canyons.
Welcome to the Pony Canyon.
We have all the ponies that you can imagine in this
full of ponies.
Bitty canyon.
That's right. Yodel-a-hee-hoo.
It all says sounds like fun, doesn't it? You want to get in there in a little canyon with a bunch of ponies? Well, it's not fun. It's dirty and dusty and a bunch of shoving and everything else. It's no good.
Yep. Plus ponies poo all the
pony
time.
Poo. You got pony poo, wall to wall, pony poo.
Pony poo. Speaking of pony poo, tell me your game or tell me what I'm looking forward to here. What's my hint?
So the year is 1993, and I decided to go with the PC this week as I gave a lot of love to the Macintosh. Mm. So I felt like I needed to, whenever we do a lot of Nintendo things, I always try to do like a Sega thing. And I felt like I did a lot of Mac this week. So I felt like I needed to do a little bit of
sure. You know, I'm Windows down for where you have PC. Decided to clown. So let's see what we got here. I'll play it. Oh, geez.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. I've been talking a long time. I sense movement. I need a new battery. Can you hear me? A new battery.
There's a bunch of dead air in this. Let's see.
This used to be called the Valley of the Sparrows. It's had a name change recently.
What was that?
You get this, of course, you could also get this. This is one of those times of the year that you could also get this on other devices as well. You could get it like on the Macintosh.
So kind of anywhere. All right.
Yeah, well, not anywhere, but yeah, you know.
All right.
It was mostly on, I think most people had DOS.
But this used a CD-ROM.
Did they release it on CD-ROM?
I mean, those voices. How else are they getting those voices?
Yeah, you're right. Well, that's true. Yeah. It was CD-ROM. You're probably right.
Because that era, they didn't have good voice modulation unless it was a disc. So I'm going to say.
Got a bug.
Oh, gosh, dude. I got to think of the damn. Was it an edutainment, as you would describe it, type game?
Not really.
Not really?
I mean, I get you. I wouldn't think you'd get very educated with this.
Someone needs a battery. That tells me it's not set in some ancient time.
Mm-mm.
And you probably had to point and click your way through stuff. Was this a point and click adventure?
Yes, it was point and clicky.
Okay.
It was predated Myst by a month.
A month?
Also CD game.
Yeah, that's
early.
True. Yeah,
these very, are very, very early CD games.
A month early. So was this considered a competitor to that? Well, that's not my question. Yeah. Don't answer that.
Right. It's not my question. Don't answer it. I don't want to answer to that.
Was it based? Here's my third question. Was it based on a previous series or title?
Yes. It is part of a series.
I'm talking to you.
One of these older text-based ventures, probably. I'm going to say. Because I'm all out.
I'm all out of love. So lost without you.
Zork, maybe?
Zork. Zork, maybe. Yes, absolutely. It's Zork, maybe.
Is it really? Zork?
Yeah, it's Activision Infocom's Zork, maybe. I'm going to give you a half point. It's Return to the Zorks.
Oh, Return to Zork! Shit!
You get half rations.
I remember Return this now. Now I'm really annoyed with myself. It is Return to Zork.
Right? Yeah, we had who guessed that right away? Let's see.
Someone get it in the chat? Did someone
yes,
got it?
Yes, Skits. Return to Zork.
First oh, Skits. Good job, dude. Wait, Skits. Mm-hmm. No, I think Graham Ellis got it first. Wait.
Where's Skits?
Skits has he's got the YouTube name right now.
Ron Wood.
Ron Wood. Yeah.
But, okay, Ron Gratz, you got it. Send both of the people I talked about, the Wraith and Ron Wood. Send me a DM on Discord and I'll send you a Steam code, brand new game on Steam. How about that?
Oh, I like it.
I like it too. I probably only get a half win for that, don't I?
Half win. Half win.
Because they weren't going to call it just Zork. What was I thinking?
No.
But Zorks. I knew it had to be. What else would it have been? That's the only thing that ever got carried forward, I think. And now.
And I never played Return to Zork. That's
Zork,
on my list.
Dude, the Zork games. I've only played
Zork, but not Return to Zork.
The Zork games. Somebody told me you could do them over the web now.
Think so.
The web.
I'm going to look up the web on the internet.
It's the one use case for AI that I actually want is a good AI to generate text-based adventures that are infinite and never the same.
Right.
I want to play that a lot.
I want to play it.
Let's see. Zork, text-based. Okay, Zork 2. Oh, play online at textadventures.co.uk. It looks like there's a bunch of these. Huh.
Look at that.
We may have to do Zork one day.
Do Zork. Zork's coming. Big request is Zork.
Yeah, why wouldn't we? We will. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. Yeah.
Welcome after this treasure intro.
I lied. It's not email. It's two texts. Okay? These are texts. So sometimes they're email. Sometimes they're texts. When you guys email us, it's playretroshow@gmail.com. If it's a text, it's 801-471-0462. Sometimes even voicemails, although I don't have any right now, but sometimes I do. Shanafan, we know him, wrote in.
Shanafan.
Says this, hello, Scott and Brian. So about Mortal Kombat 1 on the Genesis and Super Nintendo. Excuse me. Both games had sweat as the default animation instead of blood. You had to enter a code on the Genesis to unlock the blood. I just did it so fast. I was like, it was there. Because
I don't remember it being a code for the Genesis. I don't remember that, but I
do kind of remember it. I just was so quick to put it in and not care about ever turning it off that I just never went back. So it's also for Scott.
What was the code? Blood?
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. It was something like victory or something. I can't remember. Does anyone know what this is? Genesis
code for blood on Mortal Kombat.
It's got to be
A B A C A B B. So that's Abacab.
It. Abacab. Oh, now it's ringing a bell. Actually, maybe Abacab. Actually, that's pretty good. I'm going to do a little trivia later. That's really good. Anyway. He says that. And then he also says for Scott, it was Micro Machines the $100 oversized Genesis cartridge you got? The Genesis cart had two additional controller ports on the cartridge itself for four player action. It was pretty rad.
That's right.
I never saw that. I never saw that ever. But the only version of that game, I only played game on SNES and later PS1. So, never did a Genesis version, but I didn't know they did that. That's crazy.
I don't think that's the only game they did like that either. Let me see if I'm trying to remember. Maybe that was the one I was thinking of.
Machines with
that's
ports.
Way cool looking, though.
Are you kidding me?
That's pretty cool.
Look at that.
That's pretty smart.
And that was $100. Damn. Chat room, you guys see this. Hold on.
That was pretty smart.
And people. Well, I guess people at home won't, unless you're watching video.
You can look later. It's on YouTube.
We yeah, you just go Google this thing. But look at that. Micro Machines 2 Turbo Tournament. Sega Mega Drive or Genesis, depending on which area you're in. It was called the J-Cart. Look at that. Two controller ports right there, smack dab on that thing. So if you didn't have a multi-tap of some sort, which I don't even know if they ever did, you could, this was your multi-tap.
You plug this it is into your multi-taps. Cartridge.
That's awesome. I'm such a fan of that series. And I love Micro Machines. Huge fan. Still to this day, I would, you know what? Where's a new one? What are you doing? What are you doing?
What are you even doing? What are you, why are you even waiting?
It, there's a new Oregon Trail,
I'm
and there's
so
no
sick of you.
Yeah, I know it's lame. Here's another one, real quick. Shannon fan, thank you for that. That's awesome. Here's one from Justin. He says, "Hey, play retro. Did either of you ever play Super Puzzle Fighter? I'm watching the Capcom versus Marvel, and it made me think of this. Yes, I did. Super Puzzle Fighter is an amazing puzzle game. Brian, if you've never played Super Puzzle Fighter, you should do yourself a favor and play it." It might be the best. It's in the top three alternatives to like Tetris or something.
I did play this, but I played this, I think, on my Amber Nick, and I never heard it before then. And I really thought it was way cool.
Yeah, you got the little you got a little Ryu fighting the other dude. It's hard, is my only complaint about it. It's actually hard. But the PlayStation 1 version of 2, so Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo.
That's the one I played. Yeah,
that's an awesome game. Highly recommend that game. It's very good. Chat, you've seen it here.
You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about, right, chat room? You know what I'm talking about. A couple of those fighters in there doing a little bit of Tetris fighting.
Yeah, they're fighting with the Tetris. More like Green Bean Machine. Or more like...
What's the other one called? Poyo, what is it?
Poyo, yeah.
Is that...
It's more that. I think it's... You could even say Dr. Mario's in here a little bit.
Well, Dr. Mario.
They're all kind of that, you know? I mean, Tetris is Tetris and nothing will ever beat it, but... But this is close. Excuse me. This is close.
But this,
I don't know where that came from. Sorry, everybody. Well, I do know. There's like a big Coke thing here.
Oh, a big old giant Coke thing, right? Yeah, right for your Coke hole.
Made me, it goes right in my Coke hole and made me burp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for your text.
Oh, dude.
Oh,
man. I drank some kind of drink today that was like, oh, this is only 35 calories. Like, oh, cool. Just like it was like a cherry and vanilla. Carbonated something. It was like 35 calories and it just looked good, but you know, it was just big words of how delicious it was, and I was like, okay, started drinking. I'm like, oh, that's kind of tastes weird. And then, but it was one of those probiotic things.
I don't want that in my life.
I didn't realize I kept thinking, okay, maybe it's just the acquired taste, and kept drinking. Then that's why I realized about halfway through, I'm like, oh, this is some kind of like prebiotic bullshit.
It's gross.
And so for the rest of the day, Brian's belly's been burbly. I feel like I got freaking dysentery for sure. It was so appropriate. I was like, oh,
because you know what that does? The whole point of that is it goes in your gut and changes up the ecosystem.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. You know how I do that? You know how I keep a good ecology in the old gut space?
How you do that?
Kimchi at least once a day.
Ooh, kimchi. That will get you. They bury that cabbage, right? Isn't that how you get the kimchi?
Hell yeah.
You take the cabbage, you bury it for a while.
Really good for your guts. If you can deal with the smell, you can deal with the hell.
Right. That right. Dog digs it up. You say, get off that, and you bury it again. Yes.
Kimchi. Put it on some rice.
Did you see the link I put in the Discord server there?
I'm looking now.
I meant to talk about that and put that in the show notes. In 2018, I think it was, Target came out with the Oregon Trail handheld game. And I think it's based on the 85 version of it. Little black and white, but the little color one.
Yeah, the graphic style of it is. Yeah, is it fully playable? And
fully playable. You have like some buttons on the face where it's got you know, you can do your directional buttons, yes and no, and that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. Like it almost looks like a little computer.
Yeah, like a little handheld ST or a little Mac even.
Yeah,
without having it look too much like a Mac ST, I don't want to get in trouble.
$25, but close enough.
This was only $25. Oh, it's a thick boy, isn't it?
Yes, a thick boy. That's what you should call it. Thick boy. You can get them on Amazon for like Amazon. You can get them on eBay for like $18 or so.
I want one of these.
I kind of want one too. It looks, is that, does it mount on the wall too? Is you, it looks like a little wall mount thing.
It's,
is that
big?
Just hang that on a wall when you're done? That's pretty cool.
It's Visa compliant to hang on a wall.
That's cool. I like that.
Hold on. Amazon.com. We're just going to go look real quick. Oregon Trail. Handheld. Okay. Oh, sure enough. $11. Wow. Yeah. Oh, no, that's the case. I don't want the case. Let's see. Can I buy the game? All right. You know,
I
guess
it was 2018 when they had these at the Target. So you'd probably have to go find them like secondhand.
Yeah, probably. You're not going to. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't see any other version of it. Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, used on eBay for about $20.
Oh my gosh, there's so many little
$9.99.
Little
$9.99.
There's so many little AmberNet competitors now. Have you noticed how much these are popping up everywhere?
So handheld stuff are just everywhere.
It's taken off.
It's crazy. Yeah. Take off,
Take off, to the great white north. All right. Thanks for your texts, you guys. 801-471-0462 is where to send it. Our next discussion will be our favorite 8-bit, 16-bit, and 32-bit baseball video games.
Yeah.
I love baseball. I love baseball from a I don't play it standpoint. Watched
it's
the
like golf games.
I've watched the Ken Burns baseball documentary, which is 18 hours. Okay.
Wow.
9 innings, which are 2 hours apiece. The history of baseball. Plus, there's extra innings as well, which goes all the way up to like 06 or something. They're separate, though. But anyway, I've seen that documentary 4 times over.
Wow.
That's how much I love baseball and the history of it. I don't even follow teams like in a regular league or season now. I don't care.
Right.
But it's something about the raw ass nature of it that I love. And video game baseball, one of my favorite time wasters of all time. I love them. I like the Base ones that got Wars. Futuristic. I like the ones that were serious. Yeah. I like everything in between. Be arcadey, be serious, be simulant, whatever. I like them all.
Super baseball.
Fake teams, real teams, don't care.
Yeah, super RBI.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Ken Griffey Jr. on the Super NES. Oh, there's so many, you guys. So many great ones. We're going to talk about that robot one.
Robot Wars, Baseball Wars, is that what it's called?
Baseball 2020 or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, baseball. Yeah, there's Super Baseball 2020.
I think that's it. Yeah, I love that one. There's some really great stuff on the Neo Geo, which we never talk about here. So we'll talk about that. Yeah, Scott loves baseball video games as much as he loves golf video games. For some reason, Agreed. Those two things are great, unless it's real life, and then I don't care.
That's too hard.
Unless you're talking about the Ken Burns documentary. But that's
It's kind of like, do you like playing the Oregon Trail? Absolutely. The Oregon Trail is awesome. Do you want to go on the Oregon Trail? Not interested.
Hell
thanks
no.
Anyway, it's hot.
Yeah. Hell no, you don't. You do not want to go there. But we'll pick some of our favorites. We'll try to make this not too crazy because there is a ton of these out there.
So many.
We'll zero in on the good stuff.
We'll have to whittle them down.
Yep. But anyway, your 8-bit, your 16-bit, and your 32-bit era of baseball video games. That's it next week here on Play Retro. In the meantime, everybody, I would like you to do like Gordon Williamson and Scott McKeon. These are two individuals who joined us on Patreon recently at patreon.com/playretro. Not pay. Play Retro.
Pay the Retro.
Pay the Play Retro. It's patreon.com/playretro. You'll never get commercials. You get pre-show content every week. Monthly benefits that can only be yours if you sign up today. And hang around with us at patreon.com/playretro. Big thanks to everybody who is already over there doing this. And there's plenty of you who are, and we really appreciate it. That is it for the show. Brian, is there anything you'd like to tell people before we leave?
Yeah, I play these games every week on the twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. So check it out. Usually on Monday, sometimes after this show, and then on Friday.
Sign up, follow for a notification so you get told when it happens.
Follow for notification.
Yeah, and go play some Oregon Trail, you guys. I'm telling you, that new one is a good one. You shouldn't sleep on it.
Mm-mm.
That's going to do it for us.
You'll be a snake in your boot.
That's right. And there's a snake in my boots. That's it for us. Thank you all very much. Go play something retro, and we'll see you next week.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Find yourself a good wagon train. That's the prime thing.